Man, so I have notes written on paper. There were two stories I thought about telling. One I thought was too short to fill up the 10-minute time space. I'll tell that one really quickly. It was about after I made my film Medicine for Melancholy that sold to IFC. It always says in my bio, which assumes that I got money from IFC, but I did not. And so I was incredibly broke in the aftermath of selling that film. And I really needed work. And so my friend back here, Peter Laxton, is a contractor, and he was doing this job where this couple had hired him to make their bathroom wet. And so we had to take out the floor of the bathroom and replace it. And there was this really old cast iron tub in the bathroom. And Chick, Peter, I call him Chick, had the brilliant idea that instead of carrying the tub out, we would drop it through the floor into the basement. And so Chick and I are in this house for like 3 days, tearing up the floor. And finally, when we're about to drop the tub through the floor into the basement, which looking back on it was very dangerous, I had a smartphone. And I hadn't filmed anything since making Medicine. And so I said, wait. And I propped up my smartphone in the corner of the bathroom. And I filmed this toilet crashing, or this tub crashing through the floor. Into the basement, and then I took it to McSweeney's, and I was like, look, I filmed this bathtub, like, falling through the floor into a basement, and they were like, shut up and go make some more movies. But I thought it was interesting, just because I hadn't thought about making anything, and yet I had this little tool with me, and I was doing this thing because I was so hungry, and I just had to make some money, but I guess the artistic side of me clicked in and thought, oh, you know, you should film this. And I made Chick wait till I found the right angle and the camera was properly set up. And it looked quite nice, actually. I was going to bring it on an iPad to show you guys, but I'm not going to tell that story. Instead, I guess I just did tell that story. But like I said, it was too short to fill 10 minutes. Instead, I'll tell a story that took place on May 24th, 2007, at the Garage Theater, which is over on 6th and Howard. And this is the story of the opening night of a play called Under the Bed by a local playwright, Marjorie Fairchild, at a space that was founded by Joe Landini, who also founded Safe House in 2003. And this was like the first production that was staged in the garage, which was a garage. Like literally, I'm going to come back to this. It is a garage. Who was in the theater that night? Tom Waits was not in the theater that night. He was not. However, his niece was, and to hear her tell it, Tom Waits was almost in the theater that night, but he wasn't. On the same Thursday, it was a Thursday, May 24, 2007, Mark Zuckerberg held a conference here in San Francisco called F8, and it was an announcement that Facebook was going to start using apps. At that point, Facebook had maybe 15 million users, and MySpace had 57 million users. And people said, oh, apps on Facebook? What a terrible idea. Right. Aaron Sorkin, I think, was still writing The West Wing, or maybe he wasn't. Also on this Thursday, Jordan Sparks became the youngest winner in American Idol history, and then no one else ever heard of him again. And fittingly, Chinese shares fell after Alan Greenspan said China's stock markets were due for a contraction in May of 2007. Yes, the play was called Under the Bed, and it was a very small, large production. The garage was maybe the size of this carpet. I'm not kidding. It was maybe the size of this carpet. Had stadium seating. Actually, I should say, still is the size of this carpet. Has stadium seating. Maybe like 40 people in the theater. The opening night of the show, and Under the Bed was basically this play that was about a soldier in World War II who washes up on the beaches of Normandy, and finds himself in purgatory. The setting of the set was a huge bed that was constructed by a local contractor. And everyone who entered the play entered the stage from under the bed. Leonard, the main character, this World War II veteran, or not veteran, but this guy who's sort of in a coma, is found on top of the bed. And he's basically sort of negotiating whether or not he's going to end up in heaven or hell through this cast of amazing, amazing characters. In the play, there was like a full-piece orchestra on the stage to the right of the bed. There were courtesans. There was a restaging of the Rat King War from the Nutcracker. There were ballerinas dancing on point. There was a ukulele, a small piano. I mean, there was just everything. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I will read the opening of Robert Avila's review in the Bay Guardian. He loved it, which went, the unconscious, the underworld, the undead. What is it that under the mattress anxiety points to exactly? And what might it have to do with a pack of powdered French fops and Louis Say's costumes? Given the blissful nonchalance with which Dark Porch Theater's Under the Bed tackles that thing called plot, it's probably best not to mull it over too much. Suffice it to say that all of the above and a live band serve as lower bunkmates to Leonard Pinkelstein. Leonard Pinkelstein, a World War II soldier, crashed out on a fluffy brass bed, the limbo life raft for a lost soul that slipped its earthly mooring on the beaches of Normandy. That tells you nothing of what the play is about. But actually, it's not important what the play is about. What's important is that it happened in a garage on 6th and Howard. And at a certain point during the play, everything stopped because you could hear this sort of thumping coming from above. Because this is like 2007, people were doing very well. And above the garage, this very, I'm sure, nice mid-30s couple with two kids and a really big stroller lived above the garage. There'd never been a play stage there. And so with all these courtesans stomping around in the rat war, it got really loud. And so they started stomping on the floor. At the same time, out on 6th and Howard, which is a block below 6th and Mission, which is two blocks beneath 6th and Market, which means there's a lot of shit, literally and figuratively, on the sidewalk outside the garage. Someone was bamming on the metal gate, you know, because this place really had been a garage. And so the whole place stopped. Everybody thought, what the hell is going to happen now? And then they just kept going with the play. And it was fucking awesome. It was beautiful. And I'm sure there have been plays staged in garages before, and none of this stuff is very new. But I was there, and it happened, because Marjorie Fairchild wanted to make this play, and Joe Landini, God bless him, decided there were plays that had to be staged that had no venue, and so he built the garage. Now, the other thing about doing a play in a garage is that there's no house lights. Because I'm a filmmaker, this is before I'd made a film, Marjorie, my friend, asked me to run the spotlight. I don't know anything about stage lighting, but I'm in this small room with the spotlight. And at the end of the play, one of the characters carries out a candle to the main character who's lying on the floor. And as the spotlight guy, all the lights go out, and I have to put the spotlight on the candle. I follow it over to the main character. She sits on the floor with the candle. She blows it out. Spotlight goes out. Spotlight is like a really like sharply focused beam, and this little garage with no other lights, it's like I am like illuminating the entire room with this small beam. And as the lens or the light went over and she blew it out, the whole room went black. And as a filmmaker, I'm used to being at a festival and credits, it'll go black and people don't know, is it the credits or, you know, or is it another scene? And the same thing happened in this theater, and it only happened because of the size and the space of this theater. And I thought it was really wonderful. I thought I would sit here and share that story with you guys. That's it.
That's great. Thank you, Gary. That was great.